Jewish laughter begins with Abraham, with the announcement of the continuity of the covenant, thereby symbolizing that the continuity and the eternity of Abraham's family is the ultimate incongruity, the ultimate surprise to history, the ultimate confounding of expectations. Welcome to A Journey Through the Machzor, Episode 5, The Laughter of the First Day of Rosh Hashanah. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. This is the reading of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. On one of Judaism's most serious days, we read about laughter, which teaches us, if you will, that laughter is no laughing matter. It is not a light subject. It is the root of one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah and the root of one of the names of the three patriarchs of Judaism. Berosh Hashanah nifkeda Sarah, the Talmud tells us. On the day marked by Jews as the new year for the world, our matriarch Sarah was remembered, rewarded, visited by God. On that day, she conceived a child. It is due to this tradition that on the days of awe, when Jews believe all the world stands in judgment, we read of the birth of Isaac, whose Hebrew name Yitzchak means he will laugh. And so we must ask, why is laughter so important that Abraham's son is named for this phenomenon? In answering this question, we turn to a point that I made both in an article and commentary, as well as in Bible 365. And that is one of the theories given by philosophers as to why people laugh. One such theory, as a scientific studier of laughter, Professor Richard Wiseman notes, is the theory known as incongruity. As he put it, quote, the idea is that we laugh at things that surprise us because they seem out of place, end quote. This is a theory that is affiliated with Immanuel Kant, and as I've noted, the influence of Kant's theory of incongruity can be found in a fascinating source, which is the biblical commentary of the 19th century rabbi in Frankfurt, Samson Raphael Hirsch. In his own exegesis of the origin of Isaac's name, Rabbi Hirsch notes that in Hebrew, the words for screaming and laughing are quite similar. Screaming is tsa'ak, laughing is tsa'ak. The point, Rabbi Hirsch suggests, is that both screaming and laughter are symptoms of surprise. They are expressions of incongruities of expectations. Both are reactions to something that, based on our own assumptions, we were not expecting to happen. If what has happened is terrible and tragic, then in surprise we are tzo'ek. We scream in alarm, in dismay. If what has happened is wonderful, then in delighted surprise we are tzo'ek. We emit peals of laughter. What this means, then, is that the birth and naming of Isaac, the birth miraculously to elderly parents, and the story of the Jewish people, the miraculous story that this embodied, is meant to teach us that Jewish history itself is an inversion of expectation. Thus, the original source of the name of Isaac, given a bit earlier in the Bible than the passage we read on Rosh Hashanah. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? So the Bible tells us. Jewish laughter begins with Abraham, with the announcement of the continuity of the covenant, thereby symbolizing that the continuity and the eternity of Abraham's family is the ultimate incongruity, the ultimate surprise to history, the ultimate confounding of expectations. This inversion changed history and humanity forever. Thomas Cale, in his book The Gifts of the Jews, notes that the ancient world saw time as inherently cyclical, a state in which genuine change, genuine progress, did not occur. All of a sudden, Abraham, as Cale describes, decides to change his life, leave his land, found a faith and a family, defying seeming fate. Cale writes, quote, if we had lived in the second millennium BC, the millennium of Avram, and could have canvassed all the nations of the earth, what would they have said of Avram's journey? In most of Africa and Europe, they would have laughed at Avram's madness. His wife is barren as winter, they would say. A man cannot escape his fate. The early Greeks might have told Avram the story of Prometheus, whose quest for the fire of the gods ended in personal disaster. Do not overreach, they would advise. Come to resignation. The ancestors of the Maya in America would point to their circular calendars and would explain that everything that has been comes around again, that each man's fate is fixed. On every continent and every society, Cale continues, Avram would have been given the same advice that wise men as diverse as Heraclitus, Lao Tzu, and Siddhartha would one day give their followers. Do not journey, but sit. Compose yourself by the river of life. These are Cahill's words. And so he adds that Abraham's journey marked what he calls, quote, a complete departure from everything that has gone before in the long evolution of culture and sensibility. Out of Sumer, civilized repository of the predictable, comes a man who does not know where he is going, but goes forth into the unknown wilderness under the prompting of his God. Out of the human race, which knows in its bones that all its striving must end in death, comes a leader who says he has been given an impossible promise. Out of mortal imagination comes a dream of something better, something yet to happen, something in the future. End quote. Thus, laughter for Judaism is indeed a serious matter. Jewish laughter is bound up with Jewish faith. Abraham's child is named for laughter because the birth of Isaac was an inversion of expectation that vindicated Abraham's faith and laid the foundations for a people that would confound the expectations of the world again and again, thereby vindicating its own faith throughout the generations. As we will discuss very soon, right after the reading of the birth of Isaac and its accompanying prophetic portion, we follow our study communally of this story with the call of the shofar. The shofar, of course, features at its heart a note known as trua, which is a cry. The point is that first we read about tzachak, laughing, but right after that we engage in a ritual of tzaak, crying out, screaming. The two, as Rabbi Hirsch taught us, are etymologically linked because they both feature reactions to surprise, but in very different ways. We scream out in agony and pain to terrible, shocking news, and we laugh in delight to wonderful news. This has been a year of much Jewish crying out in pain. The shofar, of course, this Rosh Hashanah, will cry for us, and it will reflect the pain of the year. We read of Isaac to remind us that at the heart of the story of the eternal Jewish people is a story of faith and hope, and that the age in which we live, an age in which Jews from all over the world have been gathered into the Holy Land, features one of the great miraculous inversions of expectation in history, one that is described in the psalm that is about the return from Babylon in the age of the building of the Second Temple. Shir HaMa'alot, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. This year the shofar will cry for us. It will be tzoek. And as we read of the story of Isaac and the birth of Jewish laughter, we hope and pray that the year to come will feature many reasons for Jewish joy. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.